pool party at the Dillies. If you'd like to come today, that's their community group. And if you're not into football, that means into people. You better be, because God's into people. He created this, we're made in His image, and He loves us, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And didn't He make some funny looking creatures? Yeah. We're all good, aren't we? All made in His image. Amen. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about the value of rest. The value of rest. If you want to go with me to Exodus, the 31st chapter, we'll look at a few scripture. But how many knows, if you're like me, and it's hard for me sometimes to rest. Anybody in here like me, it's just, and you think, what you think is, I've got stuff to do, and I've got to get it all done. And I've got news for people like me and you. There'll be stuff to do when we're gone. And here's another, I'm sure this will really be an eye-opener for you. We're not going to get it all done before we go. Somebody said, you know, well, he can't call me home because I'm not done yet. Well, he can. The other morning, we woke up, and it's about 6:30, and I just got up to use the restroom, and I just, you know, sometimes you just have these thoughts come across your mind and heart, and it says, after today, you'll never be the same again. Now, that means different things for different times. We're in the mountains, and there's steep hills we're coming down on skis. And so Janet said, well, what does that mean? And so the rest of the day, it was like we're skiing with caution, you know. Are we going to be maimed? She said, well, was it in a good sense or a bad sense? I said, I don't know. I just had that thought. And maybe it's not even Jesus. Maybe it's too much pizza or something, you know. I don't know. But it's just a real clear thought that I had after today, you'll never be the same. And so we made it through that day, you know, and without any kind of major. I told her, I said, well, maybe I should buy a lottery ticket. I didn't. but just kidding with her, you know. And so, anyway, we made it through that day. And the next morning, as early that morning again, I had another thought, and it was this. It was, you know, you'll never be the same because I'm going to give you a different heart for people. Remember what my prayer was this year was to be a friend of sinners. And I thought, man, I need a new heart. And so I told Jana that. She says, he was just kind of yanking our chain, wasn't he? But it got my attention to say, you know, there's going to be something different, something new that I'm going to do in you. And so it really made my focus be on Him and on His will and what He wants. And I thought, you know, that's what rest is, isn't it? It's when we're focused on the Master and His will and His purpose. And He gave us those two commandments we looked at. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbors yourself. And everything is wrapped up in those two things. And so it just boils down into being focused on a couple of things in life. We're Christ followers, and there's what? Boom, boom, boom. Followers of Christ, and then there's just followers, aren't there? They're following something. So just loving those people. And so I begin to think about how busy we are. Is there anybody in this place that's not busy? And I get tickled at our folks that are retired. Some of them said, man, I need to go back to work so I can get rest. And you make me look forward to retiring if that's what it is. How many knows that there needs to be a balance? And I'm telling you, this thing called rest, it was so refreshing this week. It's, you know, normally we take some of the grandkids and things, and we went for a week this time, and so we couldn't take them out of school. And we thought, well, we get bored with each other. Well, I thought, well, you won't get bored, Jan. I'm not a boring person, but now I might get bored. No, I didn't think that. But we honestly talked about that. We honestly talked about, well, we get bored being on vacation for a week in a place where there's all kinds of things to do. And we skied, and one of the best things we did, we took a snowmobile ride. I highly encourage that. Can we do anything about that, or is that just the way it is? Okay. But that's just the way it is. You know, we're by by ourselves, and so we took this snowmobile ride, and it was the most beautiful trails I've ever been on. Just all the snow, it was untouched by human hands, and it was just pristine, and just in places it was just hanging and drooping off the trees, and it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And so it's just like, man, this is relaxing and restful, and this is what it is, I think, when he says to be refreshed, to be rested. It's just to enjoy the things he's already given to us. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that, isn't it? Just to enjoy the things God has already given to us. You know, our fellowship that we take for granted, God has given us that. And it's beautiful and it's restful. When we were in our group the other week or two ago over at your house, the Dilly's house, it's so restful, wouldn't it? Just to be ourselves and to be there. Isn't it restful just to come to church and rest? You know, today we're gonna have cookout with our kids and grandkids over to our house, and then we're gonna go over to Dilly's and party some more. But I got all the preparations done yesterday, so today it's just kind of going through the motions and resting. You know, we bought the party stuff and the charcoal stuff and all, and we did all that yesterday so we can rest. And let me know, God is serious about this rest stuff. He's very serious about this rest business. Now, watch what he says in Exodus 31 and verse 16. Therefore, the children of Israel should keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Everybody say forever. How many of us, that means until he comes back. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and watch this, and he was what? Refreshed. How many knows if God needs to take a day off so he can get refreshed, we really need to take a day off. You say, well, Pastor, if I made all the heavens and the earth and everything and the sun and the moon and the water and stuff, I'd need a rest too. But how many knows you have assignments and things that you do that drains you mentally? It takes energy out of you. It takes, you know, emotional energy and drain. And so we need to learn how to rest. One of the things I noticed in the article I read up in Angel Fire was this. It says, you know, you have to get used to the culture up here, because if the snow comes in and it's a beautiful afternoon, you may go down to your favorite store to get groceries or get this or that, and there'll be a sign on the door that says, gone skiing, be back later. I said, it's a minor inconvenience for us that are used to the ways up here. Jan and I were on the ski lift going up the hill, and there was a lady come in. She was a home care social worker, and her and Jan are both in the same field, and so they got to talking. And she was on a visit that day, and in between visits, she came to the ski lift and went up the ski lift, and she said, I'll take a run or two this morning and then go on about my day. She says, really, it's my day off, but I like to come over here on Wednesdays and ski a little while, and I just do this one or two visits I have here. And it kind of wrap it up together. And she's knowing how to relax and rest. And they had bought property up there. And so it's different up there. We were in Paris a few years ago. And I noticed that most of the stores take a 2-hour lunch. Yeah, they'll work through the lunch. But then like from 1 to 2 or something, or 1 to 3, they take a 2-hour lunch. You go to Mexico or Guatemala, and they know how to rest. I think Americans are the only ones that don't know how to rest. And it's not that we can't learn how. It's just that we think we're so busy that we can't rest. And it's killing us. How many knows it's just killing us? And because the reason it's killing us and it's bad for us is because it's not in God's plan for us not to rest. God rest on the sixth day, and he was refreshed. He was refreshed. And so what I want to do today is bring balance back in your life. Now, the only caution I have is, how many know there's some people that they just know how to rest too much? I was talking to Marge and Ray a while ago, and Marge said, Ray, he knows how to rest. It's not his problem. Resting is not. But see, he's retired. He said, I'm a good rester, you know, or something like that. So you might want to talk to Ray if you don't know how to rest. He might give you, would you give him a seminar on how to rest? Yeah. Yeah. Just let all that work go on all around you and just rest, right in the middle. Yeah. See, I'm going to be like that. One day a week, I'm going to be like that. You know, Jana's up doing, you know, whatever. I'm just resting. You know, or you're up working around and doing, I'm with you on the ministry, and I'm just resting. You know, I just want to be like that. How many of those are Marthas and there's Marys? Martha don't know how to rest. And Mary, you know, she knows when to rest. And then the Marthas, for us that rest, the Marthas are going to get on us. How many know that? Amen. That's just the way they are. Are you going to help me or not? You know, and well, not today, I'm not going to help you. Today, I'm just going to rest. Because God said He rested and He was refreshed. And so one of the things that I have to be cautious about is people that know how to rest too well. We call them lazy. So if you're lazy, this is not for you. You need to get balanced the other way, you know. But most of us in here are not lazy. We're busy people. And what I hope to accomplish before this is over today, this little talk I want to give to you, is this, that you will put rest on your schedule. You'll know how to rest. And I'm not talking about just sitting down for a minute. I'm talking about mentally rest and change your focus off the world and the problems and getting. See, I like to achieve, and I like to, and so I always have something going, and you know, and I always had, you know, some kind of deal going somewhere or something, and that's just my make. But just learn how to rest, because God said it's good for us to rest. I wrote down a few things that maybe you might have to work on. You may be a poor manager of time. Maybe that's why you can't rest. How many knows God gives us 24 hours a day? Everybody has. You have just as many hours in your day as I do in mine. I'm looking over at my daughter. She says, yeah, but you, I got more kids than you do. And some of you got more bills, and some of you got more whatever. But, you know, we only have a certain amount of time, and so we have to manage our schedules, because you can't manage time, really. Time is going to go by. It's fixed into eternity. And so you manage your schedules and what you're going to do. Maybe you make a schedule of what has to be done during your week and say, now I want to be... In our prayer this morning, in our early morning prayer, one of my prayer requests was to be more disciplined in the next month or two, because I'm taking a couple of things in college. One of the master's program is to be a life coach, and it would be a nationally certified life coach. And so what is two classes are coming due at the same time. And so I'll have this and then two classes on top of that that will be very intense. And so I said, just pray that I'll be a good manager of my time. I mean, those that I'll do one of two things. I'll be a good manager of time for this month, or I'll be stressed. And so I want to be a good manager of my schedule, you know, of what I do. Making every step count. And it's just for a season, you know, it's just for a while. And most of us go through times like that where it's extraordinarily busy. It's not a, and that's okay, isn't it? But you can't be on that kind of thing every week. It can't be you're headed for burnout when that happens. And so maybe that's your time. You just need to think you need to manage your time better. Maybe you're a people pleaser. And everybody that asks you to do something, you just don't know how to say no. And so you say yes. And so you've got yourself overstretched in things that you shouldn't be doing. Maybe that's yours. It could be. Or maybe you're pursuing too many material things. I think that's a big one in America, don't you? Is we think we need a lot more than we need. I heard the other day, and this will bring rest to you. I heard the other day while we were up in New Mexico that gas could double by the end of the year. That would mean it would be around $6 a gallon by the end of the year. Is everybody resting now? Here's what it could accomplish for us. It could say, you know what? I really don't need to go all these places I go all the time. And it could cut our going way down. And make us appreciate home and the things that really matter more. See, there's two ways to look at it. And so, what will you do if it goes to $6 a gallon? Will you have this mindset of, oh, you know, how are we going to afford it? Just think about it for a minute. It'd be like, if it doubles, it'd be like for some of us pulling in and putting a $100 bill in your car every time if you let it get, you know, down toward empty. $120. Just to fill up your car. Now here's the key. You know what? This is the problem we face in this generation, and it could be a reality by the end of the year. But here's the thing: every generation has had this problem that's just as severe to them. It just is where they were. and what their culture were. They didn't worry about gas in Jesus' day. Maybe they worried about the price of mule feed. I don't know. But they had a worry. Can you believe mule feed is going up to 7 shekels? We spend 7 shekels a year on mule feed. You know, I don't. But there was some kind of conversation that said to them in their generation, boy, this is terrible, isn't it? And then there's others that come unto Jesus and they'll find rest. I mean, those, it doesn't matter how high gas is. That's not going to be our big problem. Our big problem will be what we think about how high gas is. Just like when, remember earlier when gas went up so much, what I had to deal with this for a while was your attitude at the pump. You got two attitudes when it first went up. Is either you can say, thank the Lord, I have money to put gas in my car, or my gosh, this gas is high. And we decided to go with, thank you, Lord, that I can put gas in my car. And we need to keep the same attitude at $6 a gallon or $10 or whatever it is. Somebody was saying this morning, you know, gas in other parts of the world has already been this high years ago. Years ago. And so here's what really put that in perspective. When we're talking about resting mentally and thinking about things like this and stressing over it, here's what put this in perspective for me a long time ago. Is I heard a guy say, you know, we gripe about $3 a gallon gas and we'll stop and give a dollar for a bottle of water. If we filled our car up with that same water, it cost us $300, you know, or something. But we can just bring a cup with us, but it's convenience, and so we think nothing about giving the dollar for the bottle of water because it blesses me. So put it all in perspective and rest, whatever it may be. The word, when he talks about in this scripture, he said, observe the Sabbath. How many knows what the Sabbath means? You know what that means in the Hebrew and Greek? Intermission. That's what Sabbath means, is intermission. You know, we think about intermission, it's halftime, it's a football game, or we're going to take a break at a conference we're in and have a little intermission. And that's what the Sabbath, that's what it means, literally, is intermission. God says, ever so often, he says, just do this. Just time out. Time out. Now, and a lot of churches are like our church, and a lot of them were like this before we did, but went to one service on Sunday instead of two and make it an all-day affair of going back home and coming back and stuff. And a lot of people already had that because they'd come for the morning and they wouldn't come back for the evening. So a lot of people throughout the kingdom already had that concept. And there's nothing spiritual or holy or even in the Bible about having two services on Sunday. It's an American cultural thing, but I remember when we first did that, we had two or three, my wife being one of them, that was just adamant about, God, well, how can we not have Sunday night service, and what are we going to do? And so to change that mindset to, well, we're going to keep the Sabbath holy and rest. And then the two or three that had squawked about it after about 3 or 4 months, they're like, this is nice, isn't it? But what if we had said, well, we're not going to do it because two or three is opposed and we won't want to, you know. But we didn't, and I'm not saying, there's still some that do Sunday night service here and there, and that's okay. That's where they are, and that's what they do. But I'm just saying, we need to get in the mind frame, kind of like what I was talking about a few weeks ago, what is traditional holiness or sacredness? It comes from the Scripture. And then what is circumstantial holiness and tradition, which comes from what man made up. That's the Sunday night thing in our worship services is man-made thing. Okay? And so resting is getting the mind frame together. When it says he rested, it's decease from exertion, and then refresh means to breathe. We put it like this in America, don't we? Just take a breath. You know, and just breathe. I feel like I can't breathe. I'm just so... And so we identify with that. I just can't breathe. Some of you that are in college and you weighted down with work and college and all, you know, sometimes you just have to stop and just breathe. And I'll tell you something else. Here's why I believe God told us that we need to stop and take intermission, take a Sabbath, take an intermission and rest, is because how many knows if we're not rested, we're not our best? How many of you just be honest and say, when I'm tired, I'm grumpy? Look at all the liars. Just look at all the liars around you. Yeah, we're all grumpy. We're all grumpy, aren't we? We're not our best when we're not rested. When we're stressed out and worn out, we're not our best. And so God said, I want to put rest on your agenda so you can be your best. And then He modeled it whenever He came and made all that you see and then rested on the seventh day. He took intermission. He took intermission. And He took a breather. I think we need to rest and have fun and enjoy and change our focus. We watch a couple of movies almost every night we're up there, and one of them always had to be a comedy, just to laugh. Here's your laughter of the day. Two guys go to California, two rednecks. They get into California and they're talking to this guy, and he says, is this San Jose? And the Californians said, oh no, this is not San Jose. Out here, all the J's sound like H. It's San Jose. Oh, and how many know, some people, when you tell them something, they just get it. And they just got it. And so they're sitting there, they got it, okay? And it's San Jose. It's not San Jose. And so the guy talked to him for a little while, and he says, well, how long are you guys going to be out here visiting? And one of them said, oh, tell about hoon or hula. Country has come to town, hasn't it? Doesn't that feel good to laugh, though? It kind of gets your mind off whatever your mind has been on, and so, okay, that was me when we was at California. That really, no, it didn't happen. That sounds like me, though, doesn't it? So you know, just to rest and change your focus, God put a lot of emphasis on that by modeling that and by telling us, you know what, it's time to rest. Then Jesus says this, go to Matthew 11th chapter. Jesus says, and He recognized the problem that we would have resting. And so He said, I want to give you a solution. Aren't you glad God put us together and He knows everything that we need? In Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says this as He's talking to His disciples. He said, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I've got something for you. I've got rest. I just can't rest. I just can't. Well, Jesus has it, and He's offering it to you. Rest. I'm not geared to rest very well. And so I have to work on this, and we really worked hard this week to rest. And I'm telling you, it feels wonderful. We just really kicked our brains in neutral for the most part. I knew I'd be speaking this week, so toward the latter end of the, I thought, you know, I need to gear up again. But for just a few days, it just kicked my brain in neutral, and we just got up at will and did whatever we wanted to when we wanted to, and it was good. It was good just to be refreshed. For those that labor, now listen, the word labor is like, it says to feel fatigue, and I see a lot of that in Americans. It's to our own health, even. It's that bad that we just run and do and focus on stuff and things to the point to where we're just wore out, and we cannot be our best when we're that way. We can't have the good attitude that we should have. We can't have the sharpness and the focus that we should have on doing the two things that He said really matter: God and people. And so we focus. Maybe some of us need to just cut back on things. You know, used to, every 2 years I'd buy a new truck, and this last time I thought, I think I want to just drive a truck paid off for a while. And so I paid my truck off. And it feels good just driving a paid off truck. I know if I wreck it, you know, it's just, I don't owe anybody anything, you know, if I want to take it, here, I don't have to ask anybody or consider anybody that I'm paying for it. It just feels good just to have it paid off. And so I just decided, you know, I'm just going to drive a paid off truck for a while and see how that feels. Because I'd like to go ahead and just pay our house off, you know, and get it paid off before long. And so just to see, and I was walking the track yesterday, and I told Jan, I said, you know, today with utilities, and you got cable and phone and all that stuff at your house, I said, today it costs more for the utilities than it used to cost for us to live in a house and pay all the utilities. I know you're thinking, well, I thought you were going to help us rest. Well, how many know you have to deal with that stuff, because that's reality. Yesterday, my daughter called and said, Dad, one of the kids threw a skateboard in our pool. The other tried to fish it out with a stick and poked a hole in the liner. What do we do? I said, sucks to be you. You and your pool, you know, and your stuff. I mean, when you got stuff, that's a part of having stuff, is just taking care of it and things happening to stuff. And that's why the more stuff we have, the more we're going to have to be out. And so all I'm saying is, if we're going to rest, and Jesus says, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden. He realizes where we can get ourselves in this world. And so he begins to address that. And thank the Lord for that. Labor says to feel fatigue, and it's by implying work. It's not people that's just stressed out. I don't think it's people that's just, you know, lazy and trying to figure out how to get, because it says by implying work. These are people that are working and they're toiling to do God's bidding and all, because it talks about, when it says when we do work, it talks about the purpose of God is involved in that. The things of God. And God realizes we're doing His bidding. And He says, for all of you that are in that position and you're stressed, that's not where you belong. You belong in rest. You belong in peace and things that will bring balance into your life. And so those, and then the word heavy laden means this, to load up. Anybody ever felt loaded up or loaded down, as we call it, overburdened with ceremony or spiritual anxiety, whatever it may be, he says. And so if you feel overloaded or stressed today, this is for you. And today is your day to bring balance back in everything and begin to enjoy. How many knows we should enjoy Mondays? We shouldn't be like the world, oh, it's Monday again. We should enjoy Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. That's the calling of God. And so people look at us and we don't look stressed out and worn out like the world. We look like refreshed people because we put the rest back in the balance of the mix. And then he says this. After he said, I'll give you rest, there's some things we got to do here. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he knows, first of all, he said, I've got it for you, but you got to take it. You got to reach out and take it. We sometimes don't know how to take things, you know, from, I mean, he says he's going to bless us, and then some people are afraid to talk about the blessings of God. It's like we're, oh, we don't serve God for the blessings. Well, that's what he said, you serve me and I'm going to bless you. But some people just have a real hard time saying that, oh, I serve God, and he gives all these blessings, and I heard it was Crown, what is it, Money Matters that comes on? Nobody's ever listened to that on the radio. I forget his name. You remember his name, Summer? The guy on Crown that comes on the radio about the Money Matters? I cannot remember his name. Huh? No, it's not Dave Ramsey. Yeah, it's Larry Burkett's replacement. He come in now, and Larry Burkett passed away a few years ago with cancer. But he's talking, they had him on national television, they were talking about, he was just saying, you know, when you give, according to Scripture, God blesses you, and they were getting on his case, and he's a really balanced person in finances, but they were just getting all over his case because he was talking about God blessing people. He said, so you're just saying, if you serve God, he's going to bless you, huh? He said, well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. And it just, what does that aggravate people? Huh? And so he says, not only do I have blessings for you, but I have rest for you. And you know, when we're, you ever think about laying on the couch thinking, this is from Jesus? And I know, and even guys, if we think it, our wives don't think it, do they? I could use a little help around here. Nah, that's what I heard somebody say. Jana never said that, but I heard somebody had problems in that area.
Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And so rest is from Jesus. I'll give you rest. And then when he says, take my yoke upon you, that word yoke means the balance beam. Have you seen the little scales where you have the balance beam in the middle and the scales? That's what he's saying. I'll put that back in your life so you can now have balance. I'll put the balance beam back in so you won't be stressed out with work and you won't be too lazy with rest. But it'll be a great balance for you. And so we can simply be our best. Take my yoke upon you. And learn. Everybody say learn. See, you gotta, if you want to change something, how many knows you got to learn something? If you're going to change something, you got to learn something. And so if you're wanting to have a... How many says, I'd love to have more peace, I'd love to have less stress? It all is connected with resting properly. And God is telling us in His Word, this is important. I reveal that from the first week that I came in and created all this, that it was important for me to build everything and then rest and refresh. God set that as our example to be rested and refreshed. And so let's be rested and refreshed. And when we put that balance back in there, we're happier couples, we're happier families, we're happier Christians. Because that's where God said a part of being a balanced Christian is about resting. He says, take my yoke upon me, upon you. Learn from me, I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. In other words, we're going to be like Him if we learn from Him. How many knows He touched a lot of people and did a lot of things while He was walking this planet? He wasn't lazy. But He knew how to balance it out. Now sometimes he knew he went overboard. Remember one time when He was preaching and 3 days had passed and they hadn't eaten and people were beginning to fall out? How many know that is a good sign you need some rest when people begin to fall over from hunger and thirst? And so He says, what are we going to do? And so they made them all sit down for the first time in 3 days and they fed them, everyone. Because now it's not time to touch, it's not time to minister, it's time to rest. It's time to rest. And so for some of you workaholics and some of you that don't know how to rest, some of you that even when you're resting, you can't rest. How many knows what I'm talking about? When you're sitting and you're resting, you're thinking it should be a quiet time and you still got all this stuff running in your mind. He says, I come here and take what I have and learn. Learn how to rest and you'll be a happier camper. Let me tell you, this is what I think He's saying. Come and soak up this Word. And do it not as a Bible study. Do it not as I need the Word. Do it as this is going to bring so much balance to my life. It's going to be so wonderful. I'm just going to go and get me a little something from the Lord. Just like you do with your food at the table. You just go and get you something. We was coming home the other day and when we got the time we got to Oklahoma City and we'd had a light lunch. And Janet said, you know, the time we got back to Oklahoma City, she said, I was just feeling sick. And so we went and we ate at a nice restaurant and had a nice meal. And she said, I felt all better. Because you know what? We just sat there and rested and talked for about an hour and enjoyed the restaurant and was refreshed. You know, because it had been a long drive back home. And you got to keep that in balance. How many's ever come back from vacation feeling like I need a vacation? See, learn how to rest. On your vacation. See, we don't know how to rest. And so, clear your mind and let Jesus teach you. See, I don't know what you need, but He does. And He said, learn from me. He didn't say, learn from your pastor, learn from your spouse, learn from your mom and daddy. He said, learn from me. So what is God saying to you? What is He telling you? Because I don't know where you need to rest and what you need to let go and take hold of. Here's something. We need to know what we're not called to do. See, everybody thinks, oh, I need to know my calling. Well, we need to know what we're not called to do. Because when you're operating what you're not called to do, I want to tell you, there's nothing that will drain you faster. Amen. I have the utmost respect for children's ministers because I cannot control children. I don't know why. Miss Donna probably knows and she's just too kind to tell me. But, I just... I don't know, and but when I get in a group of kids, I've done this in different cities, different places we've gone to minister, and it's just chaos. I mean, I can have children's pastors you want to talk to our kid? Oh yeah, I'll talk to your kid. And then they're just running everywhere. And they're just... And it's not the kids, it's me. God did not give me the gift to hold their attention and to be able to minister to them. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But I know I can't, and so I don't. And that would just... I'd burn out quick if I was doing that. I know He didn't put in me to do administrative work, like clerical work. I hate that. If I had to write up a bunch of stuff, now I don't mind writing sermons and notes and digging out the word. I love doing that. But if I had to go and do all the paperwork and stuff that it takes to run a church, I'd never have a church. I wouldn't. I don't have the patience for that. I just don't have the gifts for that. And so I just don't do it. Listen, if you're going to rest, you need to know what God has not called you to do. Because you'll wind up doing it because you're good-hearted and all this kind of stuff, and it'll just wear you out, and you'll be mentally stressed and aggravated to show up. I've seen people just walk off from ministry because they're in the wrong ministry. Because they're just stressed out. You know. And I try to tell people here, don't do that. You know, don't if you're stressed and can't do it anymore, just say, I can't do this anymore, you know. And only two people at a time after a Sunday like this. Okay, come to me a second. Jesus said in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And He said, I want to hook you up with that. How many said, I'd like to have a easy and a light? See? And so you got to spend time with Jesus. You got to say, I'm here. I'm taking your yoke. I'm listening. What is it that I need to drop off? What is it I need to do more of? And so I can be all that you've called me to be. You gotta know what you're called to do and what you're not called to do. You think God is serious about rest? Look in Exodus 35:2. Watch this. This will bring it home to you. Exodus 35:2. This will let you know that He's serious about rest. Everybody say, God is serious about rest. Exodus 35:2. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, Sabbath of the rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. I mean, he says that's pretty serious. I mean, he's serious, isn't he? Can you imagine if we were in that first tribe and we had just gotten word from Moses that God said, prayer of faith, if I catch you doing work on Sunday, I'm going to kill you. How many said, I would know how to rest? That would get my attention. If God said, and then, you know, He backed it up, didn't He? I was reading on there the other day about this, and where a guy was out gathering sticks. They caught him out gathering sticks, and they brought him into Moses to see what they would do, and they took him out of the camp and stoned him to death for gathering firewood on the Sabbath. How many knows if God began to move, and I'm not sure, you know, because we all do stuff, and thank God He doesn't enforce this like this, but how many knows He still enforces His word one way or other? But what if they said, you know, Linda was found working down at Sam's Wholesale, she came out of the store, and a big rock just fell on her head, and a voice from heaven saying, I told you not to work on Sunday. And we all knew that our sister Linda had gone on to be a Jesus, and a big rock fell on her head. How many said, I might just take heed to that and learn how to rest? Well, I'm telling you, He's putting a rock on her head when He said, listen, church, you need to know how to rest. And so I'm going to make that one of my goals, is to be a better rester this year. That's not a word probably, but you know what I mean. I'm going to learn how to rest. I'm going to learn how to rest. And that just kick your mind in neutral for a while. Stop thinking about stuff, you know. Stop thinking about this and that and whatever else that could go on until later. But just stop for a while. Now I want to close with just a couple of more things here.
In Exodus 23:12, we're in Exodus, so let's go to 23. 6 days you shall do your work, on the seventh day you shall rest, and your ox and your donkey may rest. See, it's not just about you. And your son and your female servant and your stranger may be what? Refreshed. Now, let me say this. Listen, Dad, you need to know how to rest because you're head of your home. Mom, you need to learn how to rest because you're head of your children and helping your husband run your home. And children, you need to take advantage of them learning how to rest, because if one person, according to this, doesn't rest, it's going to throw the whole family out of balance. Now, and then take that to this body that we have here. If one of us in the body of Christ doesn't learn how to rest, you can't be your best, so it'll affect our church. Somebody says it's important to learn how to rest. He said this is not only going to affect that person, but it'll affect the whole household. It'll affect the whole household. And so we need to learn how to rest. I didn't do a follow-up on all of it, but in Leviticus 25 and then in Leviticus 26, it talked about the year of rest. I read a little commentary on it, but not much. But I'd like to do a study on that farther. But it talked about giving the land a year off and letting the land rest. And then over in Leviticus 26, I thought I saw something very interesting. It said that the children of Israel were taken in bondage for like 70 years. And he said, I took them off the land, so to speak, so the land could have the rest that I told the land it was supposed to have, because they weren't letting the land rest. And so the enemy came in and took them from where they were and to their country. And this land was laying desolate and things and resting. And God said, this land's going to get rest one way or other. I mean, they'd be a lot better off to just let the land rest. But in the name of progress, we've got to build and we've got to keep going. We just can't afford to take off this year. I think we ought to initiate that again. Every 7 years, we just lay around and rest. How many's with me? Who will finance it? No, we find somebody to finance it, we'll do that, okay? But isn't that strange? Isn't that powerful? That God said, you didn't let the land rest, so I'm going to let it rest. And he pulls them off there through their enemies being taken away. So God is serious about this rest stuff. Mark 6:31. God was our example in the Old Testament when he rested. And here's Jesus as our example in the New Covenant. Verse 31 in Mark 6, he said, and he said, Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. Did you notice he said many were coming and going? He didn't say we finally met every need and we said, well, come on, we got to rest. He said many were coming and going. And right in the middle of many coming and going, he said we got to go rest. You know what he's saying to us? It will never, ever all get done. You have to schedule times to get rest. There'll always be many coming and going and many needs and many things that need tending, but they'll never, you just have to pull aside, just like he did his disciples, and say it's time to rest. Just put rest on your schedule. You've got God's permission, you've got Jesus' permission right here, so just put it on your schedule to rest. To rest. Now here's the thing, find the appropriate time to rest. See, know what's important and what's not. One of the things, you know, they teach at our school is, you know, you make this list and what's urgent, what's a priority, what's important, what's not real important, and what's not important at all that you're doing. And that's the way you weed out the stuff, you know. And that's a good thing. I got tickled this morning. Rex said, "Ask Charlotte what's wrong with your message and on the board." And that's why I asked Charlotte. So what's wrong with my message on the board? She said, "You've been talking to my husband, aren't you? Haven't you?" Because she says, you know, the value of rest. She said, "I thought about just staying home today." The valuable, yeah. Enjoying the value of rest. Yeah. And it's okay, but just pick your times better. And she knew better. That's what made it so funny. You know, you don't take God's time to do that. But what other things are going on that you can say, "I'm going to replace this with rest"? Replace this with rest. We have a jacuzzi tub in our new home, and we've only used it like once or twice. We've been there since July. And up at the lodge, they have a hot tub, and we get in that almost every... I said, "Why don't we use our jacuzzi tub more? This is nice. I mean, those tiny bubbles blowing hot heat all over your body. It feels good." But we're too busy. It's quicker to take a shower. Well, I just want to wear my jacuzzi tub out this year. So we did. We just enjoyed the jacuzzi tub at home.
Did we check up on you?
Yeah, just ask me every once in a while. How's the jacuzzi tub going? All right. But Jesus said, "Look, you need to take time. We're coming to the side. People are coming and going. It's always going to be this way, and we're never going to have every need met, so let's just go rest." Right in the middle of everybody coming and going in multitudes, if you read on looking for Him, He said, "Let's go rest." It's always going to be an urgency to meet a need. But here's the need we need to meet, is at rest. We need to keep it in balance. For us that are, it's hard for us to rest, to kick our minds out of gear, let's just make it a commitment, a covenant today. We're going to rest. So we'll feel refreshed, so we can be our best where we need to be our best. Huh? Isn't that a good thing to do? Here's for you that are stressed out and you don't see a way out. And I'm not going to turn there. I'm going to get ready to close. But Acts 2:26. "Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." People without hope find it very hard to rest. If you're stressed out about a situation, you know, I've been under tax burdens before where I owe the IRS money. It's hard to rest completely because, you know, you're always thinking about that. And that was such a blessing to get that weight off of me. And so maybe you're here and it's financial stress. It's a relational stress. It's some kind of stress. Listen, get a new strategy if you're under that and find some new hope and start taking some steps so you can have hope, because people without hope in areas find it very difficult to rest. Just do something new. The only place I could find in the Bible where there's no rest, Revelation 4:8. The four beasts which each had six wings about him, and they all were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night. They rest not day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." I'll check that out when we get to heaven, Dennis, because I'm thinking, surely there's a time. He says, "Boys, I appreciate the praise, but take a break." According to John, when he was there in this revelation, he saw no break and no break. But, you know, I can't fathom that, so I don't know. But here's what we got to remember. They are in the presence. In the literal presence of God, where it says we can't live, and they are in that presence. And so maybe in that presence you can do that. Day and night, forever and ever. But we're not. He said if we were in that presence, we'd die. We'd fall over dead. So, but that's the only place I could find and where we people weren't rest. And finally, let me give you this, Revelation 14:13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, and that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So make your work count. Are you doing what God called you to do? Are you doing what's needful for where you are? And everything else is, you've let it go so you can do what you're supposed to be doing and have rest so that balance will be there. So that when you do what you're called to do, it will be good. You'll be in your zone. You won't be, "Oh, we're here. Hallelujah." This morning, as we was rehearsing early this morning, kids just said, "This is good. We're hitting today. We're on today," or however she put it. That just kind of brings energy to the rest of the group. That's the way we should always function.
And not, you know, everything doesn't always click, but we ought to be our best. And we can't be our best if we don't rest. We just cannot be. So let's rest today. This is what I'd like for you to do. Some of you today, you know, all of us need the message, but some of you have been kind of like me that says, you know what, boy, this is me. I feel stressed. I feel like I'm overloaded half the time. I can't breathe. I'd like for you, if you feel that today, I want you to come to Jesus. Today, I'd like for you to acknowledge that, hey, I'm like Pastor Man. This is one of my areas that I need to really learn how to rest. So today I want to come to Jesus and I want to take His yoke and I want to learn how to rest. If that's you, I'd like for you to stand and we're going to have some people pray over you today. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I mean, this is just a freeing moment. This is good for the new year that we say, just pray for me that I learn how to rest. Anyone else? Elder, are you standing or are you praying? Okay. All right, now, see the people around you. If you would, just lay hands on the people around you. Come on, get up out of your seat. It's not time to rest right now. It's time to go pray over somebody. And let's just pray over them that God will get everything, give them everything they need. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, help them to breathe in the name of Jesus. God, just show them the value of being refreshed as they rest. Help them, Lord, to discern what needs to be done and what needs to be let go right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you see where they are and you see their mind, you see their heart, you see their situation. And today, God, we ask you to bring them to a new area of growth and rest. That today will be a new day for them because you're going to start anointing them and giving them light on what they need to do and what they need to let go of. And in those quiet moments that they have with you, you're going to teach them. You said, learn of me. And you're going to teach them as they just sit in your presence. You're going to teach them how to rest and how to be refreshed. And when they come out of times of refreshing with you, they'll just be filled with anointing and filled with the power and filled with to the place that they need to be and were designed to be so they can be an effective vessel of honor for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. And Lord, I pray that for me today. I pray, God, that you'll just teach me how to rest. Teach me how to take hold of times when you want to just pull me aside and say, rest. And teach them today in Jesus' name. And for every person here under the sound of my voice today, teach them how to rest. Let them learn today with all the family and the kids and the bills and the house and the cars and the economy. Teach us how to be people of rest. So people that are lost, people that are seeking Jesus Christ, people that are seeking a better way, will see the refreshing power of God upon our face. In Jesus' name. Amen.